Good to be here with each of you tonight to worship our Lord and God. Let's look together tonight in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Tonight I want to just preach from the first sentence here in verse number 7 and pray that the Lord would bless us as we look at this. And maybe if the Lord allows, the Lord willing, maybe next time I preach, I'll preach from the second part of verse number 1. But Solomon wrote here, Ecclesiastes 7 verse 1, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." I want us to think about this statement that he made here, that a good name is better than precious ointment. Ointments with beautiful fragrances were considered great treasures in the time of Solomon. You know, we might kind of think the same thing if we go to Macy's or Dillard's and try to buy some perfume or cologne. They're pretty expensive, aren't they, these days? But not like they were back in these days. They were actually, these fragrances, these ointments, were actually kept with the jewels and the gold and everything else that the riches of the nations. So when he talks about it being, you know, a good name is better than precious ointment, we have to remember for them, ointment was indeed precious. And of course, a good name is better. It's a much greater value than ointment. And so I want us to start the message tonight just kind of thinking about the name which is above every name. That name that truly is more precious than ointment. That is the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. His name, you remember Isaiah prophesied of the coming of the Christ and the coming of the Messiah. And he said that, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful." Wonderful. That's the first name that he's given there in the prophecy. And you know that word wonderful, it actually means a miracle. His name shall be called Wonderful, a miracle. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And truly, I believe that the greatest miracle that you and I will ever have the blessing of knowing anything about, the greatest miracle that ever has been or ever shall be, is the incarnation of the Son of God. You know, the Lord has taught us in part about this truth, hasn't he? That the Lord Jesus is the eternal Son of God made flesh. He's taught us a bit of this, but we should never take the fact that if we know just a little bit about this truth, what a blessing that is. The majority of the world around us has no idea concerning that truth. No idea whatsoever. How the divine and human natures could be joined together in the single person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How the divine and human nature could be joined together in one person, the single person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ asked his disciples, he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And you remember Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord Jesus told him, he said, "Oh, Simon, blessed are you. For flesh and blood hasn't revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Don't begin to believe that those around us that are lost in this world have any understanding whatsoever of who Jesus really is. Emmanuel, God with us. God in our nature. God manifest in the flesh. What an unsearchable miracle. Every time I try to even speak about this, when I'm asked to speak and I study and I look and I read, and at the end of it, I just have to say, what an unsearchable, it's beyond anything that I can begin to understand. How that as the Lord Jesus, as the eternal Son of God, think about this. He did not in any way whatsoever relinquish any of who he was from all eternity as God. None of his attributes were diminished in any type of way. If we just think of his power, the power of the Son of God, when God came in human flesh, the Lord Jesus did not lose any of his power that he had had forever from all eternity as God. And when you think about that baby laying upon the breast of his mother Mary at that very time, being the one that was upholding all of creation by his power, the one who depended upon Mary for the sustenance and life from the milk that she gave to him, was the one that was given life and breath and being to all that has life, breath, and being. What an amazing, no wonder his name is called Wonderful. What a miracle. You remember when the Lord Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said to him, he says, if I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And the Lord Jesus Christ had been talking to him about the new birth, about the wondrous, wonderful, miraculous work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a sinner who's dead in trespasses and sins, to give us life, to give us spiritual life, so that we may look to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation, so that we may see the kingdom of God. Those are the things the Lord Jesus had been talking about. And he said, if I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. What was he saying? He was that attribute of omnipresence, the fact that God it fills all things, all places. The Lord Jesus said he was at this time, as he was looking at Nicodemus, talking to him, still in heaven with his Father. Amen. These are things that are miraculous, aren't they? So such a wonder. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. You remember next, Counselor. Counselor, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke as one, the scripture says, who had authority. That's what all those around said about him. He spoke as one who had authority. When he spoke, the matter was settled. There wasn't any, Rabbi so-and-so said this, and this rabbi said that. And no, he spoke as the Counselor with authority. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. The Lord Jesus is the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father. That is the Eternal Son. He who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The one who has always been, his name shall be called the Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. Well, that's a name we love, isn't it? The Prince. Surely, truly his name is more precious, precious than ointment, than the most precious ointment. He made peace by the blood of his cross. Peace for rebels, peace for sinners, peace for his enemies. The Prince of Peace, the King of Peace. No wonder the scripture says, Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, whether they be things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Truly, his name is a good name, isn't it? The name of the Lord Jesus, such a good, precious, wonderful name. But in this verse here that we're looking at tonight, Solomon is not speaking concerning the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather he's speaking about the name of his people, his sheep, his disciples. I know if you're a believer tonight, I know that like you, like me, you, when the Lord began a work in your heart, he gave you a desire to have a good name. He gives us a desire. When we're born again, he gives us a desire to have a good name. That is to be a good testimony in this world. That is to honor our Father who's been so gracious to us and choosing us and sending his Son to die for us. And honoring our Savior who came and bore all that he bore on our behalf. And honoring the Holy Spirit who's come to dwell within us and seal us unto the day of redemption. God gives us a desire. He gives his children a desire to have a good name. That is a name that honors our Father and our Savior. And I thought about, what is that good name? What is that good name that we want to have? And that's what I want to speak to you in the next few minutes. I've already taken way too long on the first couple pages of my of my notes here, but I think I can still follow through here. A good name. Would it be a blessing if we, like the disciples in Antioch, would it be a blessing if people called us Christians because of what they saw in us and in our life, that they would call us Christians, that is followers of Christ, servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, a good name, a Christian. Those who have in reality heard and heeded the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Those of us who've heard that call and have heeded that call and have come to him, we need to come tonight. Not, you say, "Well, I came 20 years ago, I came 30 years ago, I came 50 years ago." We need to come tonight, don't we? The call from the Lord Jesus Christ is tonight. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Maybe we're laboring and burdened under the burden of guilt and sin. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He can give you rest. He's the only one who can. Maybe we're burdened tonight under the burden of anxiety and fear. Maybe heartache, hurt, depression, whatever it is that we're burdened with tonight. The Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me and I'll give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you." Take my yoke upon you. You know that word yoke, what it's talking about, what it says is yield yourself to serve me. That's what that action, yield yourself to serve me. Just like the oxen who yield their neck to have the yoke put upon them to pull the plow, to serve in the service of their master, to plow the field. That's the picture here that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." You remember the theme of Ecclesiastes is there's no rest for us in anything in this world. It's all temporary. It's all transitory. It all passes away. The Lord Jesus says to come to him, and he will give us rest. He will give our souls rest. He said, "For my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." My yoke is easy. My yoke is a good and kind. He's a good and kind master. He calls us to come to him and take his yoke upon us. And his yoke is a good... You know, have you ever had a boss that just wasn't very good? I've had some mean... I had one boss that was particularly pretty hard to work for. And when I no longer had to be around him, I wasn't very sad about it. I'm going to be honest with you. But the Lord Jesus Christ, his disciples had walked with him, their master. They called him Master and Lord. He said, they said, well, because so he was. And when he told them he was leaving this world, they were filled with sorrows. Their hearts broke. Why? Because he's a good master. He's a kind Lord. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. You shall find rest unto your souls. What a name. You see why I say that would be so wonderful to be called a Christian? People, whether you're able to testify to them or not, that they see our life and go, you know what? That person, they're a servant of Christ. They follow Christ. Secondly, and I have three of these, would it not be wonderful and such a blessing if we had the name of believer? There's no better name. There's one greater name, but no better name to desire here for us, a Christian believer. What a wonderful thing to be called a believer, as Abraham, a believer. If it could be said of us, he or she staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he is able to perform. Wouldn't that be wonderful? To have that testimony that we stagger not at the promise of God, knowing that what he's promised. Oh, we are so weak and incapable of anything good. But our salvation is in he who is almighty, the one who's able to do what he said that he would do. The Lord Jesus said, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. How did Moses lift up that serpent? He lifted him up upon that pole so those who had been bitten by the snakes, who were dying because of the venom of the snake, could look at that serpent upon that pole that was lifted up, and with a look that they would live. The Lord Jesus said, even as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, he said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Speaking of himself, he must be crucified. He must be hung upon that tree. Why is that? That whosoever believeth in him. Our pastors told us before, I can't remember who it was, but the story of that preacher who said it, this word whosoever is better than his own name being written there, because he would find a way of believing that it was some other Jonathan Pledger that the verse was talking about. No, it said whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Lord Jesus is able. He's able to do what he said he would do. Sin had to be atoned for. He had to go to the cross, and he did. Sin had to be paid for fully, completely. Justice had to be satisfied, and it was. And because the Lord Jesus satisfied all the demands of the justice of God, now he's able to do what he said he would do, which is save all that believe in him. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What a good name, believer. If God by his grace will enable us to believe in the Lord Jesus tonight, what a wonderful name we have, the name of believer. But there's a third name that I find even more comforting than these two names. And let me spend just a few minutes on this. There's a third name I find much more comforting. The name of Christian is wonderful, a follower of Christ, a servant of Christ, but I know that so often I fail and I don't follow the Lord as I should follow him, and I don't serve him as I should. I know that. And the name believer, that's a wonderful name to be called a believer, but I have to confess, being honest, that I'm like that father with a sick child that said, Lord, I believe. He said, all things are possible to him that believeth. And he cried out, he said, Lord, I believe. Help mine unbelief. You say, can a believer be an unbeliever? I can speak for one. I believe. Am I like Abraham, staggering not at the promise of God, but being strong in faith all the time, knowing that what he has promised, he's able to perform? And when we doubt, we don't doubt whether he is able, but we doubt ourselves, don't we? We doubt who we are. And I don't know about you, what I feel or don't feel. That's such a burden that we should not bear. But we all want to have good spiritual feelings, don't we? If you said you don't, I think you'd be lying to me. We all want to. There's many times that I don't. But you know what? That doesn't in any way whatsoever change the truth that whosoever believeth in me hath everlasting life. The Lord Jesus Christ, I come to him. I believe in him. I trust him. I don't have the least bit of confidence in anything or anyone else than in him for my salvation. Amen. I know that if I have to contribute in any way, I'm going to be lost. I am lost if it's up to me. But praise God, it's not. The Lord Jesus was lifted on the tree. Amen. He paid the price. And those that believe in him have everlasting life. So what is this name that is so precious? There's a prophecy in Jeremiah that says, in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. That's a prophecy about the church. In the day of the Messiah, his church shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called. This is the name that I want. This is that greatest name, the Lord our righteousness. She shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Don't you want that name? That's the name. That's the name that we need, the Lord my righteousness. To have the perfect life of the Lord Jesus and Christ imputed, charged to me as my own. That my name may be the Lord my righteousness. That perfect life of obedience that the Lord Jesus Christ yielded unto as the servant of Jehovah. Always, in every way, at all times, always delighting his Father. Always being obedient. Always being believing. That establishing that righteousness, that is the name that gives me comfort. The Lord, my righteousness. That's the most precious name. That's the best name. It's not only a good name, it's the best name we can have. Better than any precious ointment. It is by the obedience of one, the scripture says, that many shall be made righteous. By the obedience of one. Who's that one? The Lord Jesus. By his obedience, many will be made righteous. The Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God, was manifest in the flesh and came as the servant of Jehovah. And as creatures, we are required, as Solomon says later on in this book, at the conclusion of the message, to fear God and to keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. But we've all failed in that duty, haven't we? Have we always reverenced God? Have we always kept his commandments? We know that we haven't. But the elect of God, for whom the Son of God became surety, we failed in our duty. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God requires perfect obedience, and we're not able to render it. But he doesn't stop requiring it. God did not lose his right to require that we be perfect and holy when we lost our ability to live a holy life. He still requires that, and we've come short of his glory. So how can we be accepted as righteous and as obedient when we are unrighteous and disobedient? That's the question that the gospel answers. That's the message of the gospel. God the Father speaks in prophecy, and he says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold. Mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. The eternal Son speaks in prophecy and in answer and says, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. God the Father surveys the life of the representative, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. You see, you and I were never under the ceremonial law that the Israelites were under. We were never under that law. But all of God's creatures are under the moral law of God. That law that requires us to love him with all our heart, soul, being, and mind. And to love each other as ourselves. We're all under that law. And we cannot keep that law. Hence, the servant of Jehovah, the Lord Jesus, came into this world. Why did he come? As the eternal Son of God, why did he need to come into this world? He didn't need to come for himself, did he? He had to come because he came as our surety to do for us what we can't do, which is to obey God perfectly, to magnify the law and make it honorable. So why was he manifest in the flesh? Why did he become Emmanuel, God with us? Why did he become bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, yet without sin? Why did he do that? He did that so that we might be received of God. Let's hear what he said as to why he came. This is what he said. He said, even as the Son of Man came. Why did you come, Lord? I came not to be ministered unto. He didn't come to be served, but to minister. That is to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. To minister, that is to establish a perfect righteousness with his life and to go to the cross and pay the debt of the sin of all God's people. That's why he came. And let's look at one other passage with me. Taking a little bit longer on Wednesday night than I'd like to, but look at one passage and I'll be done. Matthew chapter 12. I think this will be a blessing to you. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12 and verse number 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held the council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. In his name. A good name is better than precious ointment. And the best name that any believer can have is the Lord, our righteousness. Do you have this precious name tonight? Can you rejoice in that with me tonight? By faith in the Lord Jesus, that he came to be your righteousness. I pray that will be true. Brother Bill, if you would lead us in a song, and if you would ask someone to dismiss us in prayer.